G'day, Couch Critics. I'm Sog and I'm joined by Brad. And today we are talking about the terrible situation, but the Newcastle Jets look in real dire straits right now. Without a proper owner, being propped up by other clubs, and really look like it could be their last season in the A-League. Bradley, we're going to be chatting about kind of the issues, the APL's involvement in all of this, and what could be for the Jets, because this is pretty bad. It's been a while since we've had a club in this kind of position in the A-League. And yeah, just thoughts straight off the bat about the Newcastle Jets.
It's a pretty crap situation all around. I think it would be a tragedy if we lost any team in the competition, and you know, Newcastle is a very historic area in this country for football. It's produced a lot of Socceroos over the years. It's got some of the oldest clubs in the country, and it would be a shame for it to go, but yeah, hopefully not.
Well, let's have a look at how it all started. Obviously, we've known with Perth Glory, they were looking for owners, and they've been looking for owners for a while. Tony Sage wanted to hand them off, and so they brought in Quartermentha, this group that was trying to sell and find buyers for Perth Glory. And we've also known that Newcastle Jets had kind of been without a proper owner for quite some time. At the previous owners, do you remember who the Newcastle Jets previous owners were? Was it the Lees?
I think his last name was Lee, and he was doing okay, and then Donald Trump came along and did some tariff kind of things with China, which crippled his business. And he had to sell, he handed back his license, so that was a shame.
Yeah, so here we have the tweet, you know, from A-League Hub, Stephen Conroy, the head of the APL. He said it'd be a terrible tragedy if the Newcastle Jets were to fold, but he admitted that the APL no longer has the financial capacity to prop up ownerless clubs. That's kind of the situation for Newcastle Jets. They're being propped up by four different clubs to kind of keep their finances going. Those clubs were the Sydney FC. We also got Western Sydney Wanderers and Western United and the Wellington Phoenix. Just kind of extraordinary. Like, I guess it makes sense. Sydney FC and even to a degree, Western Sydney Wanderers have got quite a bit of money kind of behind them. Makes sense that those clubs have a bit of cash to spare to help prop up another club. But a team like Western United, who really have a lot of issues themselves and have a lot to focus on. And someone like Wellington Phoenix, who, let's be honest, they had a rough deal over the COVID years and you know, haven't always been treated the best by the A-League. There was, you know, worries that they might be kicked out of the competition and not given a new license. So for them to be helping, I guess it makes sense. They've known what it's like to be in that situation. How bad is this for a club to kind of be propped up by other clubs and have other clubs paying their bills?
Yeah, well, hats off to those four clubs. They're not obliged to do this, and it's great that they're trying to support a club in the league, but it's not a very good look. I mean, this is ultimately what happened with the North Queensland Fury. Was the owner at the time handed back their license. They weren't able to secure the funds to keep the club operating. Gold Coast was a different scenario where basically Clive Palmer was a dropkick and got his license stripped. It's honestly not very good, because it's been 3 years now since the Jets had their old owners in the Lees, and they still haven't sold it. I mean, the Perth one was fairly quick. I mean, well, they sold it and then they didn't, and they ended up selling it, and that actually went through. That wasn't too long. Because Perth's a city of 2 million people. I'm sure there's always going to be someone keen to buy into that. Newcastle doesn't have the same kind of population, but it's been for so long now, and it's really worrying that you know, like they keep talking about, oh yeah, it'll be sorted out soon before Christmas, by Australia Day, yeah, it'll be sorted. Yeah, a couple more weeks. Like, we're hearing the same thing over and over. And it's not encouraging as a neutral. And it definitely wouldn't be encouraging as a Newcastle Jets fan. And yeah, this statement came out today from the CEO of Newcastle. And I don't know, there's a lot of words here that doesn't really say too much. I feel like the club probably was obliged to say something after all the rumors or all the stories going around this week. And I don't know, it doesn't seem particularly encouraging from what's in here, because a whole lot of nothing. But in the meantime, it's important that we remain focused on doing our best to support our women's and men's team, to say, give their all. I guess that's good, but I mean, when you're a fan of this club and you don't know what's going on with the owners, the men's team is performing not very well. There's nothing from that makes me think, if I was a Newcastle fan, yeah, I'm going to get down there next weekend and I'm really going to support the boys because they really need it. I read that and think, is it curtains? I hope not.
Yeah, well, like you say, that it doesn't really say a whole lot, does it? The article kind of talks about we're still confident that Quartermentha and APL will be able to find a buyer. You know, while this process has run longer than planned, there remains a strong focus on closing the sale. You know, there's several parties that we're in advanced discussions with, and obviously in the last couple of months we've heard rumors, oh, it could be this person from who owns this club in Italy, or it could be these people. I think what's disappointing is, yeah, this is a pretty nothing statement. Oh yeah, we're talking to several people, but there's no level of how interested those people are, how close they are to a deal. Now, I know some of these things have to kind of stay behind closed doors. You can't give all the details away, but it's just not actually reassuring when you say, oh yeah, well, look, we know it's taken longer than possible, because you've got people's livelihoods, you know, at the club itself, players, staff. You got to remember, the players move on. That's fine.
It happens.
There are staff at this club who have been there for years. There's people who work behind the scenes in the offices who, you know, run this football club.
There's fans who have been there since day one.
Going to happen for them next year. And there's fans, that's right. These fans who have supported the club through thick and a lot of thin, through a lot of hard times, this club. They've seen some heights, but they've also seen some really crappy times as well. And to just have no confidence that you even have a football club to support next year, with a statement like that, yeah, look, we're trying. It's almost condescending to the fans, and you really feel that for them.
Yeah. Do you think they'll be here next year or next season?
I think they will. Look, I am still confident.
In Newcastle, not on the Gold Coast. In Newcastle?
I think they'll be in Newcastle. Look, I think what we did see from the Perth sale is that they are able to, you know, find buyers. There's definitely people who'd be interested in running a football club. Newcastle's got a great heritage, but there's definitely some things that need fixing. But, you know, the last couple of years, that no one's really invested in fixing those. So I think you've got a great history of football in Newcastle that somebody can run with. So I think they will be in the competition next season. If they're not, it solves the potential issue of a buy round with no Canberra. That's looking less and less likely to happen by next season. So, look, that's not really a positive, though. We don't want to see clubs leaving the competition. But it is a bit sad. And the APL, look, let's touch on them for a while, because I guess they're right in saying, yeah, look, we can't be propping up clubs without owners anymore. It costs a lot of money to run a football club, and it's not sustainable. But also, what's not sustainable is spending $30 million on a platform that never really got pushed well. You know, that spending $2 million a season on VAR that most people are pretty happy to do without, or, you know, wheeling out big fire blasters at every match
in the middle of summer.
So is there, could the APL be spending their money better? Yes, maybe that's part of Stephen Conroy's role, is to help them redirect where they're spending their money.
Mm.
But it kind of cuts a bit, it comes off a bit rich from an APL that isn't particularly good at spending their money.
No. But at the end of the day, it's not their responsibility to run the clubs. I mean, yeah, we all know they haven't spent their money wise. And Conroy's comments earlier this week, I don't know, there's a mix of, yeah, I get it, but also, you know, you've been a bit of a knob. You're being, like, talking like a politician. Like, people pay their money. They want to go watch football. They don't want to hear political talk of just, and that's what he does. He's like a bureaucrat, and people don't want to hear that. They want to hear people speaking plainly to them. They don't want to sound like they're being spoken down to with all this political PR jargon. They just want to know, what the hell's going on with the Jets? Can you do anything? Can you hurry it up? And, you know, even with the situation with Campbell, which we'll get into, he's like, oh, no, I can't really tell them anything because there's nothing to tell. I was like, bro, these people want to stay in Canberra, and they're talking about pulling the pin because no one's talking to them. Just let them know what's going on. You don't have to make a big press release to the public about it, but you can at least speak frankly to the players and let them know what's going on. And you can do that to Newcastle as well. So I'm in two minds because I think, yeah, it is ultimately up to the clubs to sell, it's all on them. You know, you live in a capitalist society. You know, if someone wants to pull out funding for a club and they can't find an owner, I am of the opinion the club should fold. But it's also not a particularly good business model, I think, when we rely so much off the owners, we rely so much off the TV deal. I mean, and it's not a very good TV deal. You compare it to the AFL and the NRL, they get a buttload of money for their TV deal, but they're not just getting money through that. You know, a lot of the league's clubs have pokies and they're quite ethically questionable things, but it's a revenue base that they have.
Yeah.
They can sell merchandise. They can do so much more off the field. And I just think the A-League clubs struggle to generate significant revenue to make it worthwhile investing in a club. You're probably always going to lose money as an owner, but when there's really not many other income sources coming through, it's not a good look. Western United, it'll be interesting to see how they go when they actually own their asset, they're owning real estate.
Hmm.
Maybe some other clubs have to look into getting some real estate as well. But anyway, like that's just I'm getting sidetracked here. Yeah, I think it's partially on the responsibility of the clubs. The APL could be a lot better in the way they communicate to their fans and also supporting these clubs. Yeah, they've wasted money. Could that money have been spent on the clubs? Maybe not, but could have been spent better.
I think another part of this is maybe the asking price. And so we saw a little bit with Perth, and really Tony Sage wanted the club gone into other hands, and the consortium that kind of took it over, which includes some Aussie greats, Vince Grella and Marco Bresciano. But they essentially bargained because they said, well, if we don't buy this, you're not really getting much else and you want too much. And I think part of this is APL are trying to get a bit of their money back, what they have spent into these clubs. Perth kind of this consortium held them ransom for Perth and said, you sell it to us cheap and we'll put that money that we save back into the club and actually make it successful. You look at the Canberra bid, I think something similar is happening. You know, the A-League is kind of holding out for this magic 25 million, but it's probably not going to happen. And so I think they need to maybe lower their standards a bit. But similarly with the Jets, you do wonder, are they trying to hold out and play bidders off against each other? Because in reality, it just needs to go cheaply. You need to sell this club and put it in the hands of somebody who then can invest the money and keep the club running.
I think those four clubs want their money back and they're not going to get it. So do you either get no money and the club folds, or you get a little bit of money back and Newcastle survives? Like Newcastle, who would pay 14 million for Newcastle Jets? Like, the brand itself is not worth it. And stop trying to ask for overs when it's clearly not worth it, you know?
Yeah, you've got a whole issue with the stadium that they play at is too big for how the club is currently kind of going. Not
Yeah.
that there's many other options in Newcastle. You can't
Yeah,
really
you're going from Newcastle, like
hold them out of
that
number two
stadium
sports
to an
ground.
NPL, you'd go to an NPL ground.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's right. But something needs to happen, and it's not going to unless there's an owner kind of there to make it happen. But you look at that club and yeah, realistically, a lot of the players, because the club's been in this situation, they're not on long-term deals, so that there's not even really
Yeah.
any assets at the club that they can sell off to make off, money. Maybe Archie Goodwin, but realistically, no one's
Or
paying that much money.
Apostolos, Stamppopoulos, or whatever his name is.
And again, he's probably not on that long a contract. So, these kind of things, because the club's been in this situation for so long, it really is without many assets at all. So that lowers the asking price, and they really can't be asking too much. And I hope that's not the issue, that they're kind of wanting more than really it's worth.
And I think with Canberra, I guess we'll talk a bit more about Canberra. I think their situation is similar to, do you remember the Sydney Rovers that never came in? They're meant to be like the team before the Wanderers, and well, they were meant to, I guess, be the team for Western Sydney, and they were given a provisional license. Canberra was kind of like recommended as the next expansion spot, and they couldn't get their crap together, and it kind of
Yeah.
fell apart. But it seems in this situation that there's the threat of the women folding altogether. And that would be a big shame because I think Canberra United is one of the best W League teams in just terms of like they're a standalone women's team that have built up some great support over the years. They haven't had to piggyback from the men's team. They've built that up. But yeah, I think there's a, I don't think Football Canberra's in a pretty good place as well because. Yeah, I think maybe they're asking more. I don't know. It's just a shit show, and it's a shame because Auckland was really smooth. Owner was sorted, fantastic owner. Names announced and everything, coaches announced in Canberra. I don't know. I don't see how they're going to be ready. Like I'm wishful thinking. I'm still hoping and expecting them to play next season, but I think the reality is they haven't got much time. And
Yeah,
I can't remember when the
realistically.
Wanderers were announced compared to when they started, but really, it's cutting it fine. If they get announced tomorrow, they could probably do it, but like they need to announce it soon. And they're saying soon, but they've been saying soon since October.
That's right. We do have one of the longest off seasons in world football, probably the longest off season in world football. But I think realistically, the Canberra has to be announced by the end of season before the finals. To have any chance, to pick up players who are coming off contract, and get them into their roster to appoint a coach and give them enough time to, clubs and people will go on holidays for a month or so, and then they'll expect to start pre-season. The Australia Cup will, roll around pretty quickly. So if Canberra want to be there, they've got to be set and ready to go. And so really, they've only got a couple of weeks left, I think. It probably maybe give them to the end of April until that's kind of the end of the time that they could. And that would be kind of very fine. I think you'd see not the best kind of first season off that. There'd be a lot of things that are left wanting, particularly because the APL will want to be setting the schedule for next season. They'll want to know exactly how many clubs they've got to make that fixture list. Yeah, it is a bit worrying. And I think it kind of touches on potentially one of the biggest issues in Australian football is just this lack of unity between state football bodies and the Football Australia governing body. And just each state is out there doing their own thing, so that we have problems with the second division, which again, we're kind of waiting on some real news about it supposed to be starting next season, that's looking less and less likely as time goes on.
The National Second Division.
Well, there's been radio silence.
They've announced the eight teams, and they said in April they'll announce another four. Like, I'm not particularly worried about that.
Well,
I'm quite confident that'll go ahead, whether it's with 8 or 12. But
I think it will be interesting just as that. these state teams have issues.
Like all the NPL teams have been talking quite encouraging, like, yeah, no, these are their final seasons before they go up. I'm pretty confident that'll go ahead, but it'll be definitely interesting to see what happens with Canberra. And if it needs another year, so be it. Like, it's a shame, but it'd be good to get them sorted for next season. But we'll just have to wait and see what happens with Canberra. I've been keen for a team in Canberra for some time now, but Socceroos play Lebanon next week. What a perfect time to announce the A-League team on the morning of that game against Lebanon down in Canberra. Anyway, I think Samuel's having some technical difficulties, so we might wrap up the episode here. But, of course, thank you for sticking with us for this long, if you have, and make sure you like the video and subscribe. We've just hit over 800 subscribers, so that's fantastic. We're charging towards 900 and hopefully 1,000. So thanks for watching. Samuel, any parting words? No parting words for him. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you in the next video.